You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 1. Before we begin, everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America. Then I pray for everybody who comes one by one by name as the Holy Spirit leads according to his beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Wow, that's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, through social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. And right there, you'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. As the curtain comes up on 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, the nation of Israel has rejected God as their king, and they've chosen a man king. A nation is in trouble when they let men rule instead of God. So God said, okay, you may have Saul. He's the tribe of Benjamin. He's tall and good looking, because I know you'd go for the outer, but God looks on the heart. His father's name is Kish, but Kish lost his donkeys. The father Kish sent his son Saul to seek and save that which was lost. Our father God sent his son to seek and save us, for we were all lost. Amen. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, Holy Spirit transforms that other you into another you. Holy Spirit transforms that other you into another you.
Amen. Verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head.
Samuel the prophet had told Saul, you're the king. So he anointed him with oil to be the king. In the Hebrew, oil is Eliyah, two of the names of God. El, Elohim, God our creator. Yah, Yahweh, our Lord. In the natural, oil is energy. Oil is power. Somebody needs to tell Joe Biden that, okay? And that is why Jesus said in Acts 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. I know some of you are saved. Anyone not saved all over the world, I'm going to give you a chance to be saved before the program is over. But for all of you who are saved, before you got saved, you are dead in trespasses and sin. When you got saved, you confessed your sins, you repented, you believed in Jesus, and you got saved. And you were, to some extent, a new creation. But that does not mean that you have the anointing. The Holy Spirit comes to a certain extent when you get saved because he is Jesus. But that is not the anointing. That is not the baptism. What does it mean when one is anointed by the Holy Spirit? What does it mean when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The anointing in the Greek means Christ paints himself on you. So, When demons see you, they do not see you. They don't see that other you. They see another you. They see Jesus, and they're afraid of demons. So in the name of Jesus, demons flee.
Amen.
Because that's Jesus, not you. When sickness sees you, they don't see you. They see Jesus. So the sickness has to get well. In the name of Jesus, be healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
When your death's bed, someone's just died, death does not see you. Death sees the Word, and the Word is life to those that find. In the name of Jesus, come alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ is not Jesus' last name. From the Greek is Christos, the anointed one. Now remember James 5 says, any sick among you, then the call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, Eliah, in the name of the Lord. Oil here is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Samuel the prophet is anointing Saul, the man king who loses his donkeys, with the Holy Spirit. Would he be another you? Let's see.
And kissed him and said, is it not that the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?
The original Hebrew says God has called you to be to ruler over the people of Yahweh.
Verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre.
We know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He had two wives. He had Leah, and his favorite wife was Rachel. She had given him a son, Joseph, the coat of many colors, but she died in childbirth as she gave him Benjamin. So Israel buried her there.
In the border of Benjamin at Zelzar.
And you're going to see two men there.
And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to see are found.
Your donkeys have been found.
And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorrowth for you.
Your dad's not worried about the donkeys anymore. He's worried about you, son.
Saying, what shall I do for my son?
Where is my son?
Verse 3. Then thou shalt go forward from thence.
Okay. Samuel is telling Saul three things here, to let Saul know that Samuel's word about him being king is true.
And thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men.
Three men. Anytime it says three, it's a God thing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The three Godhead bodily are one. God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach. These three are one. So this says there's something about God in this, Saul.
Going up to God to Bethel.
Bethel, house of God. They're going up there to worship. There's a sign on my door, Bethel, house of God, a place of worship.
Amen. One carrying three kids.
There's a three again. A kid is a lamb. This is a prophecy that through the nation of Israel would come the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
And another carrying three loaves of bread.
Three loaves of bread. There's a three again. Jesus is the bread of heaven. He feeds you till you want no more.
And another carrying a bottle of wine.
Wine is the blood. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Everything in the Bible is Jesus. Old Testament points to him. And the New Testament, he has come. Everything is Jesus.
Verse 4. And they will salute thee.
They will salute thee. They will say to you, Yahweh Shalom, peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, complete, whole.
I will give thee two loaves of bread.
They will give you two loaves of bread. Because now, Saul, you're not only to be the king, you're going to be the priest. And you're going to have to give the people the bread. Every anointed person is to have two loaves of bread. The Old Testament of the New Testament.
Which thou shalt receive of their hands.
Receive the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Verse 5. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines.
The hill of God is back where Saul lived, where his dad Kish was, where he lost his donkeys. Now the Philistines are the enemy. Uh-oh, they're in the land. Earlier in 1 Samuel, the prophet Samuel called a national day of repentance. Everybody in the nation repented, like I'm trying to get America to do. And God saved the nation, and the enemy could not come in. God was the wall. But the nation went astray again, and now the enemy has come back in. Any time a nation goes away from God, the walls are broken down. And drug traffickers and pedophiles and human traffickers and terrorists, the enemy comes in to destroy the land.
And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place.
You're going to meet a school of prophets that coming down for worship. Now, this same prophet Samuel had started the school of prophets. The prophet Elijah had been closely connected to that.
With a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp.
With musical instruments. God chose the tribe of Levi not only to be the priest line, to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to teach God's word and to pray for the people, but also to be the Levitical musicians.
Before them, and they shall prophesy.
They're going to prophesy. A prophet is a seer, S-E-E-R. They see beyond the physical. They see the spiritual realm. And a prophet has the anointing of Holy Spirit upon them. They speak the word of God with the Holy Spirit.
Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee.
Whoa. Poor little Saul lost his donkeys. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. When you got saved, before you got the Holy Spirit, you were that other you. If you are baptized, you're another you. We're going to talk about that and about you in a little bit.
And thou shalt prophesy with them.
You'll prophesy with them. Look at that. From a donkey loser to a man of God.
I shall be turned into another man.
Another man. The old you, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, becomes another you.
Verse 7. And let it be, for these signs are come unto thee.
Samuel says, now when all these things happen to you, Saul,
that thou do as occasion serve thee.
And then, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you, teach you. He's in you. He's upon you. He says, go there. Do that. Give that. Say that. Everything the Holy Spirit says, he leads, he governs. And you turn on a dime. From now on in, you say nothing. You do nothing. Everything. The Holy Spirit takes over.
Praise the Lord.
For God is with thee.
God is with thee. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in the form of Jesus to you. But if you are baptized, he's with you all the time. He's upon you, he's beside you, and he's in you. All the time, Holy Spirit.
Verse 8, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal.
I want you to go to Gilgal before I get there, says Samuel to Saul.
And behold, I will come down unto thee.
I'm going to come.
Offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings.
And I'm going to come, and then since you're now the priest and king, I'm going to help you do what God's called you to do.
7 days shall thou tarry.
You wait there 7 days.
Till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do.
I'm not your Holy Spirit, but I'm going to guide you so that you'll know what to do. Now, don't forget that verse, because later on in 1 Samuel, we're going to find that Saul did not wait for Samuel. When the Holy Spirit baptism comes on you, your timing is perfect. It's not 1 minute late, not 1 minute early. The Holy Spirit's timing is absolutely perfect according to God's timing.
Verse 9, and it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel.
So when Saul left Samuel,
God gave him another heart.
Another heart. The old Saul was another Saul.
And all those signs came to pass that day.
Everything came to pass. God's word is true. What God's word says is always going to happen. Now, before I address you and that other man you were and the other you that you want to be, let's verify this from the Bible. Let's look at the prophet Elijah, 1 Samuel chapter 18. When the anointing came on him, he prayed, fire fell down, and he killed 450 false prophets of Baal. I mean, one against 450. Okay, that's another man. King Ahab and Jezebel hated him and ran after him with their chariots. He outran them in the anointing. Boy, do you have strength in your anointing. And then he sat down on a mountain, and the other man came back. He was resting. But Ahab sent 50 men to arrest him, to kill him. The Holy Spirit came on him, that another man, and those 50 men died instantly, and that went on for a while. Then we see the book of James chapter 5. James says, Elijah was a man like you and I are. He had to eat, he had to sleep, had to take a bath, had to carry the dog out. It had not rained in Israel for 3 years. The anointing came on him, the another man, and there was a cloud the size of a man's hand, and then the rain came down. Amen. Another man. Let's look at our Lord Jesus Christ. He's Emmanuel, God with us. But he left heaven's glory and plopped himself down, a little flesh baby in a virgin's womb, Mary. Now Mary and her husband Joseph, who was not Jesus' father, he was his guardian, knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, but they kept it very quiet. Because after she gave birth, the Virgin Mary, to Jesus, then she and Joseph got together as man and wife and had other children. They had daughters and they had sons. A wise mother, daddy, you do not tell your children, hey, your elder brother here, this is God. That could cause all kind of trouble, could it not? We don't hear much about Jesus. He's the carpenter's son until he's 12 years old. He's a young lad. He goes up in the flesh like a normal boy with Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem for Passover. They lose him and they find him in the temple astonishing the doctors of law. For a moment he blew his cover and showed he was God, but he quickly retrieved that. He went back home with them and acted like a nice little obedient boy. The Bible does not tell us anything more about Jesus until he's about 30 years, but history does. I have a book in my library somewhere here, The Traditions of Glastonbury. It documents the fact that this same young lad was in a boat, a big ship, with his rich uncle Joseph of Arimathea, Mary's rich uncle, who later would buy the tomb and provide the tomb for him to be buried in. And there are all kinds of proof in Glastonbury, England, in churches and signs, they sing songs about the ten men, Joseph was rich in ten, and the young lad. Now then we see Jesus about 30 years old, the carpenter's son, a man, that other man. John the Baptist is baptizing, Matthew chapter 23. Jesus baptized me in water. John does. At this point, Jesus declares that he's going to die and arise again. He goes under the water saying, Jesus will die. He comes up out of the water, Jesus will resurrect. But then, the Holy Spirit anoints him like a dove. The Spirit of God comes to him. He's no longer that other man, the carpenter's son. He's another man. The anointed Jesus Christ. Amen. Then he goes and anointed, he raises the dead, he heals the sick, he casts out devils and demons, and heals lepers. They nailed him to a cross, the same anointing that came on him then, raised him from the dead.
Amen.
Then we look at Peter. He was a fisherman. And when he didn't catch any fish, he probably cussed like a sailor. He followed Jesus. When Jesus was being led up to be crucified, Peter became afraid. I would too, wouldn't you? Peter denied him thrice before the cock crew. That was the other Peter. But when Jesus resurrected, he said, "You go to the upper room and wait for the promise of the Father." Peter went to the upper room with the other disciples and Mary and the women. He was the other Peter, afraid, sad, not knowing what to do. The holy rock came, a mighty rushing wind, sat on their heads like cloven tongues of fire. And the other Peter became another Peter. He got up and preached and began the first church of Jesus Christ. He and the disciples changed the world.
Amen.
Let's look at another man named Saul, not the Saul who lost his donkeys. He is a Hebrew of a Hebrew, a Pharisee. He's a Hebrew scholar. He studied under Gamaliel, the chiefest, wisest person of Hebrew. He taught there in the synagogue. He loved the Lord God Yahweh, but he did not know that the Messiah had come. So thinking he was doing a great thing, he persecuted those Christians. And on the road to Damascus to get letters so he could persecute some more Christians, that other Saul became another Saul. The bolt of lightning, Jesus Christ, met him. "Lord," said Saul, "what will you have me do?" The anointing came on him. That other Saul was now another man, Paul. Hallelujah. And he wrote almost all of the New Testament. Jesus had a half-brother named James. James and all of the brothers and sisters of Jesus did not believe he was Messiah. Familiarity breeds contempt. A prophet sought without honor but his own country. They saw your socks dirty. They can't believe your God. But when Jesus died and arose, the anointing came on James, and he wrote the book of James. Another brother of Jesus, Judas, did not believe he was Messiah until Jesus died and rose from the dead. The anointing came on Judas and became another man, and he wrote the great book of Jude. One of the disciples, one of the inner circle, John, was that other man. He got his mother to ask Jesus if John could consider him in the kingdom and be a hotshot. Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking for." But when Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit touched the Apostle John, and he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Now you, anyone not saved, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm talking to saved people right now. Just because you are saved, before you receive the baptism, you're still that other man. Let's see if you have the baptism. Once the baptism comes on you, the anointing, you don't say what you used to say. You don't say, "I'm sick," because the Holy Spirit does not be sick in you. The Holy Spirit says, "With Jesus' stripes, I am healed."
Amen.
You don't say, "I'm tired." That's the old you. The Holy Spirit's not tired. The Holy Spirit says you go from strength to strength. You don't say, "I'm afraid." That's the old you. The another you says, "God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind."
Amen. Amen.
You don't say, "I'm poor." Holy Spirit's not poor. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You say, "I give, and it's given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over."
Amen.
If you're anointed, you don't pray like you did when you first got saved. Somebody said, "Say, Father, in Jesus' name." Before you got the anointing, you were good. You said, "Father, in Jesus' name." It was dead. It fell to the floor. Nothing was there, but you were so good. But if the anointing came on you, Romans 8:26, you don't know how to pray, but now The Holy Spirit prays through you with groanings, which cannot be uttered. That's your prayer according to the Father's will. Now mountains move.
Amen.
Things happen.
Amen.
And it's not dead. Everybody can hear it because sound produces movement. If you are anointed, if you have the baptism, you don't live like you did when you first got saved. You went to church and you found out you're supposed to visit the sick. That was nice, you did. You took them chicken soup. You fluffed their pillow. You brought them some flowers, but they were still sick. But now, the healer is in your house.
Amen.
Now you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Because Christ paints on you, sickness has to get well.
Amen.
Before, you had a friend who was an alcoholic or a drug addict or addicted to pornography. All of these are demons. When they used to call you when you were a Christian, you said, I can't help you. Go to AA. Not now. The demon slayer is in your house. In the name of Jesus. You demon of alcohol, come out of this person. In the name of Jesus, you drug demon, come out of this person. In the name of Jesus, your spirit of pornography, come out, go to the abyss. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you are baptized, you don't see people and things like you did when you first got saved. You went to church because Hebrews 10:25 says everybody's supposed to go to church. But you saw a man and a woman. She was pretty. He was handsome. She was ugly. He was ugly. You saw she's fat. She's thin. He's fat. He's thin. You saw rich and poor, crippled, all kind of people, introverted, extroverted, but not now. Mm-mm. Now, you no longer see through a glass darkly. You see clearly. You got x-ray eyes. You see the heart. You see exactly what's going on there so you can help them. You do not know how to pray for people or help a person or talk to a person until you see their heart. And then, what a blessing you are. You speak to that heart. And lastly, if you're anointed, the anointing is consistent. It's not here one day and gone the other. Look at Elijah. Anytime he needed anointing, it was there. Jesus, anytime he needed it, it was there. Anytime Peter needed it, it was there. Anytime Paul needed it, it was there. Anytime I needed it, it's there. Sometimes when I come out here, I've almost taken my last breath before I walk out there. You don't know that. You don't know that I'm about to fall down. I come out here and the anointing comes.
Amen.
It's never let me down.
Amen.
I will pray for you in a little bit. You will not know what I've been through. Some of you think, well, I'm anointed, but sometimes I'm not. No, no, no. You might not be anointed. Any Christian, when you're in a place where the Holy Spirit is like this, where the anointing is there and it's here, if you're a Christian, you'll feel the Holy Spirit, but that does not mean that you're anointed. You might be or might not be. The anointing is consistent. It's always there. God's gift or without remission. So therefore, when I go off the air, for everyone in here, I'm going to give you a chance to really be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have to give up your pride. You will have to drop your walls. You'll have to be willing to fall to the floor. Scott will catch you. You'll have to be willing to open your mouth and speak in his language. You'll have to be willing to shout, to clap. If you don't, you're never going to get it. But now all over the world, drop your walls. Drop your me, myself, and I. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit anoints you, he transforms you. You're not that other man, that other you. You're another you.
Amen.
I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let me introduce to you now the owner of the produce place. He loves the Lord. He loves his beautiful wife, Angela. He loves his handsome and called, chosen, elected son, Max. He loves his talented and beautiful daughter, Olivia. And he's my twin friend. Let's all give a great hand clap and welcome Scott Merson. I'll get you, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Thank you.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6.
Absolutely perfect. Amen. Thank you. Great, Scott. The Holy Spirit guides you. Now, before I pray for healing, if you're not saved, before you can get the Holy Spirit and have all that fun, you got to get saved.
Amen.
So pray this prayer with me all over the world. Mean it with all your heart. And the Lord will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Put me where you want me in your church.
Put me where you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You must tell people, you may tell me. In a moment, Scott will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number. It's my voicemail. Leave your confession there. When I get it, I'll pray for you and welcome to the family of God. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. Now, if you're a new Christian, get yourself a King James Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. The reason I use King James, I've studied them all, but I've also studied the languages. King James is the only one that you can trace almost every word back to the original Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Syriac, and Chaldean languages, so you want to be exact. Now, find a church that teaches God's word one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, and where the anointed Holy Spirit's there, where they operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we have a midweek prayer service because we are commanded to pray. He says, my Father's house will be called a house of prayer for all people, and be faithful there. Here's my email. Not only you may email your confession, some of you say, I have some questions. Email me your questions, and then I'll answer them on Mr. Moment. See, you need to tell me. I need to know what your question is. Email me your prayer requests, your confession of salvation, your questions, your praise reports. Here we go. Here's my email. S-H-A-R-I Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, feel led today to pray for gums and for teeth. Now, most of you live in the world just like everybody else. The only difference is you're saved and you pray and you go to church. Some years ago, I was sitting at my desk in my school in Cocoa, minding my own business, minding God's business. Holy Spirit said to me, put your hand to your mouth. Your upper left wisdom tooth is coming out. I put my hand to my mouth. My upper left wisdom tooth came out. No pain, no blood.
Praise
I discarded it, rinsed my mouth, and kept on with my Father's business. You think that you've got to do everything just like the world. When will you know? He's your dentist. He's your doctor. He's your financer. He's everything. When will we learn? You're in the world. You're not of the world. So in the name of Jesus, amen. Gum disease be gone.
Amen.
He said his word and healed gum disease. Roots there, dead roots come alive. Teeth of the dead come back alive. Let your teeth be like a flock of white sheep fresh from washing. Every bear sweats, on is barren among them. Missing teeth be. Cavities be filled. Broken teeth be mended. In the name of Jesus. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Give all your love to him. I love you too, with all my heart, all over the world, my friends, and in here. And I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor. And in the name of Jesus, all fear must go now. In the name of Jesus, perfect peace. In the name of Jesus, burdens be lifted. In the name of Jesus, we believe. No other name has power to save. Your sins are forgiven. Rise up unashamed. And no other name has power to save. Go live in my healing. Wake up from the grave. In the name of Jesus, all fear must go now. Shame, and no other name. repeat the name of freedom. I'm not gonna live for another name. The name of my Savior. The name of the Messiah. The name of the King of all kings. It's in the name of Jesus. All fear must go now.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
When we pray, we want to put in an Amazon order, and I want it here quick.
But Dr. Tony Evans says when we've requested the wrong response, God takes the liberty of delivering an upgraded answer.
We pray for what we want, but God guarantees what He wills.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Holy Spirit is given a number of names in Scripture. Titles, Dr. Evans says, are related to the benefits God passes from Him to us as believers. Today, he continues his exploration of the Holy Spirit's role as our intercessor, the one who speaks on our behalf to God. Let's join him as he digs into this study.
In Romans chapter 8, we discover another ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is the ministry of intercession. He is by name an intercessor, someone who appeals to someone else on behalf of a situation or another person. They are a go-between. They're like a lawyer who represents a client because there's trouble, there's difficulty. Romans chapter 8 says that we have an intercessor when life causes us to groan. He speaks, beginning in verse 18, about suffering. Suffering is the pain of negative circumstances hitting you and overwhelming you. The trials of life that are oppressing you and causing you to be afflicted and inflicted with negative realities and circumstances. He says, I consider that the suffering of this present time, the things that we go through in this life and in this world. He starts off by telling us that suffering, pain, in fact, groaning, is part of the created order. Look at verse 22. For we know the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. So you see, he relates the groaning of childbirth to the groaning of creation. We've all seen creation groan. This is a theological way and a spiritual way to understand earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and medical pandemics and viruses that seem to come out of nowhere, wreaking havoc in our lives and in the natural world order. He says those are not merely just events. That's the groaning of creation. Creation is in pain. So we are part of something much bigger. He's going to talk to you and me personally, but he wants you to know that to live in this world is to live in a world that groans. But he says the groaning that you see in creation is like a woman groaning in childbirth. And a woman only groans in childbirth because something is coming down the pike. Something is being birthed. If you only see the suffering and you miss spiritually and theologically